Youth ministry is a catalyst for church growth and transformation. When I was a young person, I needed adults to come alongside me and love me and introduce me to a deeper relationship with Jesus. That's one of the big reasons that I do this. It's because little Joel needed that. I don't think I'm unique in that sense. And so by continuing that process, I get to then do that for the next little Joel, or the next little Joe Black, or the next little Neil Urquhart. All of these young people are loved deeply and intimately by God himself. And he's put on us as the adults in their life a call to love them and introduce them to Jesus. And you have no idea what God's going to do with that young person at that moment in time. And they may go on to become the future ministers or youth ministers or just leaders in their communities who are then going to go on and actually transform their areas into something beautiful.
Welcome back to Emerging Emmaus, and here we are with Joel Nicholas, who I remember as a toddler when he was at Carbery Festival, and loved getting to meet the Nicholas family and to see which of the Nicholas family was new to Carbery, because it's certainly an emerging family. How many siblings have you got, Joel?
So now I'm the eldest of eight. Which puts me 19 years older than the youngest.
And your parents have been so obedient, go forth and multiply.
That's the scripture. Seriously, yeah.
It's fantastic to have you with us on Emerging Emmaus. And we also have Joe Black, who is new to Emerging Emmaus. Ruth has taken a sidestep. She'll be back with us shortly, but Joe, tell us a wee bit about yourself and how you come to be in this interviewing situation.
That's a good question. Thanks, Ruth. I was really thankful to be asked. I love this podcast because I love the window it gives us to the life and the hope of what's going on around the church at the moment. I'm Joe Black. I am a final year candidate for ministry with the Church of Scotland. So just finishing off 3 years of training at New College and travelling around various churches doing placements. And I have to say, I'm excited about what I'm seeing God doing.
Brilliant. So introduce us to Joel then. You've done a placement at Gorebridge, I believe.
I have. And so, yes. So when I was asked, who do you think of when it comes to hopeful stories around the Church of Scotland? Gorebridge was where my mind and heart went. Before I was training for ministry, I worked for Scripture Union for a decade and spent that time travelling around different churches, working with them and their youth work and their schools work, and was saw all sorts of different shapes of different things taking place. But then when I was placed at Gore Bridge and saw what was happening among their young people and in discipling their young leaders, I stopped and I thought, this is something different. This is something new. This is something exciting, and I thought it'd be wonderful for other people to hear about. So thank you so much, Joel, for joining us this morning. Can you tell us a wee bit about what's your role in the church and some of the things that would happen in a normal week at Gorebridge, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks, Joel. And again, it is a pleasure to be a part of this. I look forward to having a chat with you guys. So my role at Gorebridge Parish Church is youth minister. I took over from the previous youth minister a couple of years ago now, but I've actually been working full time at this church since 2017. And that was after studying with a college called For Mission, who train people like myself in theology and mission and then into youth ministry. So after I had done my training, which included working here, I then went on to full-time, and now I'm the head youth minister. I say head because we have actually just taken on another one as well, which is really exciting, but that's literally just fresh off press. A typical week here That's it can vary, like many ministry contexts can, but we do have a few things that are pretty standard. So we all the time are trying to build relationships with young people for the express purpose of introducing them to Jesus. And so we have a few things that we do in the, to make that happen. One is that, say, every Monday night, we'll get together with the young people that we have, and we'll do some version of Christian thing. And that could be Bible studies, that could be just hanging out, that could be talking about faith in a mentoring context where our leaders individually mentor individual young people. They tend to have a 1-to-3 ratio, one leader to three young people. But that could also extend to games nights and just building relationships. But it is very much with the express purpose of trying to build their understanding of faith and an understanding of who Jesus is. Then as well, on a Friday, we'll have a drop-in. Now, previously, that activity was actually a separate charity called Gorebridge Opportunities. Post-COVID, we couldn't get the funding to continue that, and so it wrapped up. But we took the activity of the drop-in in-house. And so we have young people from all over the community and beyond as well, who just come, pay 50p, there's some tuck, and there's plenty of things to do, but they just hang out. There's no set program, there's no set anything, and it isn't faith-based, but we would probably call it a sort of pre-evangelism section of our week, where we aren't trying to tell them about Jesus actively, we're doing it through how we live and how we act. And so that's where we have those young people. We also obviously have Sundays where the young people come to worship, but we take them away as part of the service to do teaching with them specifically. Although, even though that's the case, we have established now that we do the same thing as the adults do in terms of which book of the Bible we're in, even which chapter we're in. It's just that we adapt it for where we see the young people. Now, aside from that, we also mentor and disciple and train young leaders. So every Tuesday, we have our leaders in the church meeting to worship, to pray, to discuss and plan about what we could be doing with our young people, but also to invest in them. Because at the end of the day, I've only got so much capacity. I can't mentor or disciple every single young person that came through, even a relatively small youth group. That's pretty tough to do. But if I invested in at least one adult, then my capacity has in theory doubled, just about. And so if you've got 10 adults, which would, you know, who everybody would love that, then all of a sudden your growth is exponential. So in a typical week, that's what it looks like. I suppose the only other thing that we do is schools work, which can vary. It was different pre-COVID, which I believe most people will say as a sentence, something was different pre-COVID. But we'll be in primary schools. Our area doesn't have a high school specifically to this town. So we'll be in primary schools doing assemblies or playing football. We aren't doing that just now, but that is hopefully something that we're going to restart soon. But right now, what we are doing is an SU group in New Battle High School. And that only began a year ago, which was something that we've been looking to do in some form of capacity for a long time. Because New Battle High School is the main catchment for our area. And it has had a reputation, even when I was growing up in this area, of a pretty rough place. They got a new building recently, which helps, but the SU group there has been a joy and a bit of a sanctuary for a lot of kids, especially Christian kids, in an environment that's particularly hostile to that belief system. So we've been doing that for a year, and we have actually seen young people come from that who we only met through there and then join the rest of the youth work that we have been doing. So I think that pretty much covers a weekly thing. Joe, you were around once. Maybe you can remember Sunday. I've forgotten.
Well, I mean, it's a busy place, and there's lots of stuff what you've said that I'd love to go into a wee bit deeper about your mentoring, about the journey that you take young people on, and your picture for the community. But in case we've got people who are listening who are thinking, well, that's lovely, but actually, I don't have lots of young people around my church, and I'm not sure quite what I should make of this particular Emerging Emmaus episode. Let's just go back just briefly. Like, has Gorebridge always been somewhere where there's been lots of young people around the church? And have there been sort of particular values as a church you guys have wanted to put into place to get to this place?
That's a really good question, Joe, because you're right. It can sound like at this point oh, you just have young people, so good for you. And I totally sympathize with that thought process. The answer to your first question is no, not even remotely. The church has always had children in it. Like a lot of churches, at some point in their lifespan, they'll have families at some point, or maybe the minister has kids. So those are the kids that come. That was me. I'm the minister's kid. And my parents, as Neil said, had lots of them. So that did keep, Sunday club leaders into a long-time job, as it were, you know, keeping us in that. But no, there weren't. Certainly not when I was growing up. And I remember roughly about 2010. Well, 2010 was when things kicked off, kind of. But before that, our church realized that if we were going to be serious about inviting young people in, we had to kind of put our money where our mouth was. Now, up to that point, there were some fantastic adults who were engaging with people like myself who had just grown up and become teenagers and were just still around. And they had done fantastic work. We had a couple from St. Mungo's who did youth work there, not paid, but still brilliant volunteers. And my own parents did a lot as well. But put your money where your mouth is. That's something that the church took seriously. And actually, they started praying and asking, well, God, all right, if we believe that young people are need to be part of this church just as much as anybody, then is it time we actually start paying for that? And at the time, there was a couple of candidates potentially available, but none of them came up. And then all of a sudden, a young couple, very young couple, who were recently married, wandered into our church without, you know, any rhyme or reason. They had actually gotten the wrong bus that day to go somewhere else and instead went in the opposite direction. Gorebridge happens to be the end of the bus route for Edinburgh. So they ended up at the, you know, the end of nowhere and thought, well, we're still going to have to go to church. Let's just go into that one. So they walk in. And that ends up becoming a God moment on steroids, because as it happened, he was called Ross Waters and his wife was Fiona. And he was studying at the International Christian College, which was at the time the only place that you could study for youth ministry in Scotland. And he needed a final year placement. And so there was this wonderful aligning of our church going, right, we believe God's calling us to youth mission and youth ministry, and this guy is now walking in to and is saying, I need somewhere to train and to study and to work. And we kind of went, all right, God, well, it seems like you're doing something. And again, you could say, well, that's a happy circumstance, or that's just a coincidence, or that's just something that happened and it's lucky for you. And in some ways, sure, I would just call it blessed. But it was also, if Ross had walked into a church that was not prepared already to start doing that stuff, then he wouldn't have found somewhere to even ask. He would have just come to that Sunday and gone, well, that was lovely, let's get the right bus next time. But instead, this person who was willing and able met a place in a church who was willing and able. And that coming together was what allowed the catalyst, as it were, allowed the next steps to happen. So Ross said, can I spend my final year here? And the church and my dad, the minister, said, yes, but we want to put in the caveat that we get first refusal for your employment afterwards. And he went, yeah, sounds great. So he finished out his final year, became the youth minister here, and over a period of time, with some juggling, it wasn't immediate, but we managed to get him to a full-time position. And he was here for well over 10 years. He only left in 2021, went off to Canada to become a Baptist minister, which he's now been ordained as, which is wonderful. But over time, what we discovered was that, yes, you can put your money where your mouth is. Yes, you can pay for a youth minister. But at the end of the day, a youth minister is only a person, and they're not necessarily a miracle worker. The whole church has to get involved in the process of loving young people, because really, and this is what we believe Jesus is modeled to be, it's ultimately relational. One of the things that I love doing with young people is saying to them, hey, great, you're thinking about becoming a Christian, you've become a Christian, let me introduce you to your surrogate and spiritual moms and dads and grandparents and aunties and uncles and brothers and sisters. They cannot wait to meet you, because ultimately church is family. And I don't know about the listeners, but Gorebridge, where I live, is the kind of town where families are, well, broken families are very common, where kids won't have known their dads or they'll be raised by their grandparents. And imagine the look on a kid's face when you get to introduce them to that old, and I do mean older person, someone in their 80s, who is actually there ready and able with a big smile to say, you know, come on in. I can't wait to get to know you. So it's not just a young person's game, although I'm turning 30 this year. So I'm getting on the other side of the young person element. I know. I'm probably insulting my company here, but yeah, the 15-year-olds are half my age, which is quite a thought for me now. It's also the everybody up to death, everybody up to that. Nobody is excluded from doing this work. We need everybody involved. And that's something that our church over time realized.
And I think definitely my takeaway from my time at Gorebridge was just how much you guys love each other. I mean, that real sense of deep familial love through the church, from the babies to the more mature, is very tangible. I'd wonder, like, have you got maybe one or two stories that you could just share briefly about what impact has it had on some of those young people who've come on a journey with the church family? And then we'll maybe talk about that more intentional mentoring.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the best initial story to tell would be that first generation of young people, which is my generation, with that first youth minister, Ross Waters. And really thank God for him, because and his wife and their wonderful family. I think that one of the best indicators of something being done right, of God being involved, is longevity. And one of the really remarkable things is when I was young, was at high school, I was at St. David's Catholic High School, which you'd assume would have some Christians at it, but like a lot of our culture, they were nominally Christian. I was really the only one who took my faith seriously, and certainly in my year, and for most of the school as well. When the youth minister came in, he started inviting us to various different things. And one of them was with the St. Mungo's. We're running a thing called Field of Inflatables. Just imagine lots of bouncy castles for, you know, teenagers. It was awesome. And so he encouraged us to think about inviting somebody. And so I had somebody at school that I was inviting. I was just telling them about it. And another boy in my class overheard us and went, "That sounds great. I'm coming to that." And just invited himself. Now, what you need to know about this guy is that him and I didn't get on at all. He actively made my life a misery. He bullied me relentlessly. And up to that point, I would think I was in third year. So that was a good couple of years of that at this point. So when he invited himself, I was like, nope, I don't want him to come. That sounds like a terrible idea. But I told him the details and he actually showed up. And so now we're driving in this big van with my dad driving, the youth minister in the car, me and a few other guys. And they're like, "Oh, so are you going to get prayer to this other guy?" Because it was a Christian event. And he was like, "Prayer? What are you talking about?" He had no idea this was a Christian thing. And so we arrive. It's a lot of fun. He engages with the youth minister, Ross, and they build a relationship. And then he starts coming along to the other things that we're doing now. And then over time, our relationship, which at first was hostile, antagonistic, became more neutral, and then eventually kind of okay and friendish. And then in the summer, we ended up running this event called Stage and Slam. It was the first ever year of it. And this has become something that we've run every year since. And that was 2010. It's a day camp where you have 5 days of loads of activities, but then a gospel message to give you an opportunity to understand who Jesus is. And at the end of maybe the second to last talk, this guy, his name was also Ross, he pulled me out of the building that we were in, and he had tears in his eyes. And I was so shocked by what was going on initially. And through those tears, he looked at me and said, and apologized for every time he had ever bullied me. I was young. I didn't know what to do with that. So I slapped him in the face and said, "You're fine, shut up." And, you know, and we got on with our day. But that is the only time somebody has ever done that to me. And then from that point on, our friendship continued to grow. He continued to come to what we are a part of. And to make what would then be a long story very short, we became best friends. And I was a groomsman at his wedding, and he was the best man at my wedding. And now you know, we're the same age. He's now got a son. He married somebody who he met through the youth work. He would never have met her otherwise. And they come to church and are bringing their son to church now. So that longevity of the church's life committing to the youth mission has meant that this guy went from being a pretty rough kid from a rough area. Like, I mean, the idea that he would get in trouble with the police was not, you know, not unheard of potentially in those early years of his life, but certainly not now. All the way to somebody who is not only part of a church, but is committed to the life of it and growing it, and is now bringing up his kid in it. So that's probably one of them. Do you have any follow-up for me, Joe?
No, I'm just thinking, you know, that's a beautiful image of that investment and that time and that intentionality and that sort of journey now bearing fruit, because thinking about Ross and then the other peers in that age group as well, who are now fully engaged in leadership within the church, a lot of them now. And I think that's a beautiful picture of how church should be, that generational working together. I guess my next question would be about on, you talked about, you've got a busy week, so you need lots of people to manage that. But on a Tuesday night, you get together with your leaders. And I think what's interesting about that Tuesday night is it's not just these people who've grown up through Gore Bridge. You've got people from other churches coming along as well. So the life that you're seeing growing in Gore Bridge is something that's not just Gore Bridge based. Can you tell me a wee bit about what the vision is for that? And who are these people who turn up at Gore Bridge on a Tuesday night?
Yes. So one of the things that our church realized that it probably had a calling on its life for was training people in youth ministry. So I mentioned that our first youth minister was himself a student at ICC, International Christian College, which was where I was then going to go study when I grew up as well. 6 months before I was due to, it shut. And as a result, the only place that you could train youth ministry in Scotland specifically was now closed. Now, you could go to New College or any of the other theological universities and study theology, sure, but none of them had that emphasis on youth ministry. And plus, ICC was wonderful because it also afforded and it was a requirement that you were placed somewhere while you studied. So you were actually doing youth mission while you were learning about it. The other colleges were just for study's sake. And so I became aware through my connections with Young Life International of a college in England called, at the time, Springdale, which I think I learned recently was partly founded by Leslie Newbegin, which some of your listeners may be aware of. It's now called Form Mission College, and Rain Ministries were running the youth ministry campus. And so I joined, and it was a three-year degree. At the end, I ended up with a BA in mission and theology with my elective in youth ministry. And so our church supported my placement. So now they had Ross as a student who graduated, me as a student who was training. And then the year after me, there came another guy who was studying here as well. So now we had three students who had studied with and through us alongside this college. And we realized that the time and the investment that we were putting into these students was directly benefiting our youth ministry, because they were giving us 3 years of dedicated work while they were growing, while they were learning. And then at the end of that, I became full-time here as well. And so there was a direct lead-in, as it were. Now, after that, when I was full-time, I was still working with the college to help support their students. And I realized that we hadn't prayed about who was next. And I realize you've asked me about Tuesdays. Don't worry, I will be getting onto that. And so I was praying, all right, God, who is it that's next for this degree? Who are we going to train next? And he gave me a name, and I instantly laughed because I thought, nope, she is definitely not somebody who will want to do this. But of course, like the Holy Spirit does, he continued pushing on that. And so when I got home from working with the university, I mentioned it to some people I trust. And one of them said, you know, I thought you might say that person's name. And so over the next couple of months, we worked with them to figure out if this was doable. And it wasn't just them, actually. They said yes, and another guy said yes as well. This was a pair called Josh and Abigail. And so now we were training two more youth ministry students. And then the year after that, two more people from our church said, hey, we want to do this as well. But we went, sorry, we don't think we can actually support four students at this place. For one, we pay them a little bit. So that's a lot of commitment. But we looked around and two more churches in the area said, yeah, you know what, we can take them on. And so one of them went to St. John's at King's Park in Dalkeith, and another went to Lonehead Parish Church over in Lonehead. And so now we were supporting one, two, three, four students at a time. And then another person from St. Andrew's Blackadder, his name is Andrew, was sent to us to go and investigate what we were up to by his minister, Neil Dougal, and just to get a look at it. And we told him about the degree. And so he decided to sign up. And then now he was on the degree as well. And so we said to them, all right, one of the things that we do is on a Tuesday night, every week, we get all of our volunteer leaders together, including people who we may see as potential leaders. And we worship and pray, and we train them in leadership. And we actively ask the question, how do we better love God? Because that's the greatest commandment. And then how do we better love our neighbor? And for our context, that's each other, our church members, sure, but also the young people that we are working with on a weekly basis. And so we said to those students, we want you to come and be a part of that. Can we invite you into it? And so they said, yeah, sure. And so now every Tuesday, we not only had volunteer leaders, we had these studying students who were placed in these other churches who were trying to figure out how they do youth ministry in their context, which is different to here. And so now they got to be exposed to what a youth ministry team looks like and how they plan and how they minister and how they love on a weekly basis. And then think, right, how can I then take that home and do that there? And so as a result, some of them started mentoring programs. As a result, some of them came and joined our summer mission, Stage and Slam, where they bring their own kids or they just come and help us run it so they can get an idea of what that looks like themselves. And then they get exposed to what a youth ministry looks like just maybe 5+ years on from them and what theirs could look like potentially in the future, which has been an absolute pleasure. And by the way, again, we've received a massive benefit from that. It's not like we're just giving, because we get access to other people who are doing something in a different place. And then we get the amazing connections and networking that that always brings. So that's been a joy.
It's exciting to hear about growth and hear about what God's doing and fueling and equipping for more ministry elsewhere. I think there's a sense in Scotland at the moment that God is on the move among our young people, that Amen. There is a momentum and an excitement. If you were to say just very briefly to other churches, other people who are listening to, for you, although youth ministry, I'm sure, has its challenges and its ups and its downs, what would you say to people who are thinking about getting involved in youth ministry? What do you think God's saying about the young people in our nation at the moment? What do you love about ministry with young people that would maybe encourage others to jump in and just get involved in that momentum at the moment?
Youth ministry is a catalyst for church growth and transformation. I needed, when I was a young person, I needed adults to come alongside me and love me and introduce me to a deeper relationship with Jesus. That's one of the big reasons that I do this. It's because little Joel needed that. I don't think I'm unique in that sense. And so by continuing that process, I get to then do that for the next little Joel or the next little Joe Black or the next little Neil Urquhart. All of these young people are loved deeply and intimately by God himself. And he's put on us as the adults in their life a call to love them and introduce them to Jesus. What I love about youth ministry is I think it keeps me young. Sometimes I see a gray hair popping out, and that might be the stress of it, sure. But actually, when I see a young person get who Jesus is, and I see the light turn on behind their eyes. Maybe you've experienced that yourselves. When someone gets him properly for the first time, then you can see in them potential that is almost limitless. And you have no idea what God's going to do with that young person at that moment in time. And they may go on to become the future ministers or youth ministers or just leaders in their communities who are then going to go on and actually transform their areas into something beautiful. And let's be honest, Scotland itself, I know sometimes my accent can mislead, but I have lived in Scotland my whole life. I'm born and bred here. I think one of the things that we Scots can get a little bit caught up in is that things are bad and that's how they're going to stay, because that's how they've always been. And maybe it's just because I'm a bit of an optimist, but I actually think it's an injection of God himself. I don't think God's done with us yet. I do understand that the general story of the church is that it's in decline in Scotland. Well, while that might be true on a macro level, what do we have? What can we do about that? Walk into your church and love someone. Walk out into the street and love someone. Now, I'm not saying you need to sit on the stand on the street corner and just look at every young person who's got walking by. They'll think you're a bit weird and they'll just avoid you. But maybe God's put on your heart, you know, I'd really love to see young people in that school. Well, go figure out how you can set an SU group up in there. You don't need to love absolutely everybody all the time, because that's difficult and impossible. Just love the person that God's put right in front of you at that moment in time. And so if you're a church who's looking to get involved in youth ministry, here's some things that I would say, a bit like what I said at the beginning. Realize that this is a whole church effort. And it's not just going to be a case of bringing somebody in and they'll do everything. They'll do all the work. Put your money where your mouth is. Maybe your church is in a position where you could prayerfully consider how you could financially support somebody coming in, because at the end of the day, this person might have a family and a mortgage and they're going to need support that way. So maybe that's going to be one of the really serious conversations you guys are going to have. But realize that God's resources are far beyond what we can imagine. And I've seen it time and again where things that should not be possible for a church of our size somehow has been made possible. And that's because God was the originator of this mission in the first place. And so I'm just trying to get involved with what he's up to. And the moments where I realize that I'm probably burnt out and stressed out, part of that is because I've been trying to do it all on my own for far too long. And instead, I need to look at who he's placed around me and go, can you come and help, please? And then all of a sudden, I've got these people who are actually willing and able. And because of the longevity, a lot of them are parents of young people who have grown up and they are infinitely thankful. And they just want to give back in that sense. So get involved, please. We need you. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the next thing.
Strategically, Joel, you're really helping us to think nationally, I think, about youth mission and ministry. And you know, I think you're talking about something that's really important for the national church here, and that is helping and encouraging people to be called into, that it be a vocation, as you have experienced. And as you say, ICC is no longer, but you've just described an avenue through which you and numerous others have been able to journey into youth ministry. And I think what you're talking about there is really important, and hopefully we can follow up, and you're already following up. The ripples of what you're doing is influencing and inspiring others around you. You described your journey and the journey that other people are involved in there with a college or university in England, is it? Can you just fine-tune that for us so that we can point people to this?
Absolutely, Neil. So the college is called For Mission. That's one word, For Mission College. They run a BA and an MA, but the BA is in Mission and Theology. And there's a few different electives. Of course, what we're focusing on is the youth ministry one. That particular campus is ran by Reign Ministries, as in a king reigning on a throne. They're a separate group, but they work with the college to facilitate that. Now, it's worth saying that, because you're right, there is this avenue now. One of the wonderful things about this is that you don't have to go and move to England, like Birmingham or somewhere, to study. Because they run an online campus, it used to be that you would go down for 5 weeks of the year to do your classes, but now it's only two, and you otherwise do classes every week online. You get to live wherever you are. And so we've had students in Scotland, Northern Ireland, all across England and Wales. We've had students in Austria and Germany as well, who are able to minister where they're at, and often it's in their home churches, while still studying and training and learning. So what the avenue looks like is, you can look it up online, Rain Ministries and Four Mission College. You can then apply. Now, if you're in my area or in Scotland in general at the moment, though it is expanding, if you do sign up, I will actually become the person who supports you. We've been assigned as what's called the Scottish Hub, but it's hopeful that we will be gaining more Scottish Hubs throughout, because it's a large area for me to cover. So if you're training with them, you'll be supported by me. You'll have a weekly cluster with me, and we'll just talk about how ministry's going and how life's going. Then as well, we'll try and engage with some ministry experiences. We'll try and help you gain access to things like our summer mission, for instance, where you'll learn what that looks like. And all the while, you'll be doing essays and assignments that will lead towards a BA in mission and theology.
Now, we're going to have to wrap this up. We could go on for ages. It's brilliant. It's lovely to hear what's happening. And I have to say, Joe, it's a joy to see you. You, your own man, by the way. And, you know, it's a wee bit like the Blue Peter story. You know, here's one I've prepared earlier. I just remember you as a youngster. And bang, here you are, praising the Lord and serving him so well. Joe, a takeaway from our interview, from our conversation, what's risen to the top?
I think for me, I think it's that intentionality of love. It's that decision that this matters. This is where God's on the move. These are young people who are looking for family, and as church, we are family. And just the massive potential through that. And I wonder whether people who are listening to this, even if they're looking at a place where they're starting from scratch in their church, I wonder where they can think, well, actually, where can we work out that intentionality? Where can we be looking for where God's on the move in our community? And where could that long-term intentional love make a difference for God and for young lives? I think that is something that is so important and so encouraging about what you've seen over not just a short term, but over a good long 20-odd year journey in Gorebridge. And that is exciting and encouraging. And I can't wait to see what more fruit comes from that.
And for me, there is such a need among young people today that is evidenced in so many ways in our schools, in our communities, and the dysfunction is just so rife in families. And there's a crying out for something beyond ourselves in our communities, among our young people. And my question is, Lord, you know, how to connect with, how to reach, how to be serving and enable people to come to know you and grow in this love that you've described. And what I've heard from you, Joel, is what's happening with you, but I've heard this ripple. I've seen this ripple, and I see other groups that are involved in helping grow youth ministry. And so what I sense is this resurgence, this growing up of leaders of today's church. And you've inspired us, you've encouraged us, and you've pointed us to an avenue through which people can get going for youth ministry, because we need more and more to be involved. So we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we look forward to hearing more as well in future, Joel. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Thanks, folks, for joining us by tuning in. Remember to subscribe. And if you get someone you think we should be interviewing, let us know. But let's go encouraged and blessed. Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
In your neighbourhood, trudge two dumped Jesus friends, drowning before dawning, moving through a maze of misery to an amazing Emmaus encounter. Emerging Emmaus.
Good grief, our dream is dead. Going home instead, comfort of my bed.
Good grief, the pain. Hope hard to sustain, love down the drain.
Good grief, where have you been? What we've seen? Blown to smithereens.
Good grief, how our hearts burned, our minds turned, what all we learned.
Good grief, don't go away, come in to stay, you've shown the way.
Good grief, how he broke the bread with hands that bled, then disappeared.
Good grief, Jesus alive? No need to strive, chance to thrive, Jesus alive.
Good grief, no time to waste, now we have a taste, to Jerusalem with haste.
Emerging Emmaus, a well-kent lament echoes through the years. How long, how long? Good as is the grieving process, may it be a means to access visions and dreams of Christ's kingdom come. Emmaus, emerge from the gloom. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
So for future podcasts, join us via the Sanctuary First website, Facebook page and app, and also via Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come on, tune in.